So, you know, in the daily mass, we've been hearing from the prophet Jeremiah for the past couple of weeks. So if you haven't been coming to daily mass, like, what's going on in this story? And even if you have been hearing, it's still kind of, what's the context? You know, one of the biblical scholars that I listen to, I follow, he said oftentimes when we come to mass, it's like we get parachuted into these scripture stories without any context. So what's going on? And as much as I would like to give you the full context of this story of prophet Jeremiah, there's basically false prophets and true prophets. Jeremiah is the true prophet, Hananiah is the false prophet, and there was a school, there was a career of false prophets that the bad kings or the bad leaders would kind of hire these men to tell them good things and to tell good things to the people. I mean, it's not much different than American politics. Now, we don't get the full story, we just get some good little news blurbs to make us feel good about what's going on. And that's what Hananiah was saying. You know, they were losing their promised land. They were losing the temple and all the good things that they had because of their infidelity, their idolatry. But Hananiah is saying, just wait, in 2 years, everything will be back to normal, no big deal. And Jeremiah said, praise God, that's true. Praise God that we will be restored and that everything that we lost, we will have. He said, but 2 years, that's a lie. It would be years and years. And the prophecy came back to Hananiah, not only did you break that wooden yoke, now you've saddled everybody with an iron yoke, an unbreakable yoke, because of the lies that you are teaching. And so most of us have been confirmed. And through our baptism and primarily in our confirmation, we become prophets. We're called to be the prophet of the good word, the true word. And so often we have to combat the false prophecies that are being taught in the world. Our people, especially our young people, are being led astray by blatant lies about what is good, what is true, and what is beautiful. And so parents and teachers, you have a responsibility to be the Jeremiahs in the lives of your children, in the lives of your student. Being willing, because Jeremiah was hated. He was a reluctant prophet. He didn't want to be a prophet, and they tried to kill him. They dug a pit, and they threw him in the pit, and left him for dead. We have to have that same courage when we teach, when we preach, when we live the truth. And living the truth is the most important part, that we have to have first heard that word, that we have to be first preached to understand what is good, what is true, and what is beautiful, and our lives must reflect it so that the words we teach, the words we preach, match the lives that we are living. It takes courage. So we ask Jeremiah to give us that courage, intercede for us, to give us that courage. Because there's so many lies about what is good, what is true, what is beautiful. Does the church really teach this? Do I really have to go to Mass every week? Is marriage really one man, one woman forever? Is birth control really wrong? Is yoga really not good? Is this the one true church that Jesus founded and everyone should be? Are these truths, and do we believe them? Or are we willing to be hated and thrown into a pit to proclaim them? I mean, this is the yoke that's placed upon us as disciples of Jesus Christ, as prophets, as teachers of the truth. Be willing to stand against the lies of the world. Even within the church, the health and wealth gospel. Jesus wants you to be happy all the time, no pain. Everything is good. Everything is nice. As Jeremiah says, praise God, that's true, but we know that's not. And so what do we do? How do we get to that point? How do we have that courage? What did Jesus do? He withdrew to be with the Father. As parents, as teachers, a life of prayer is absolutely necessary. There's no way that you can do your job well, fulfill your vocation, if you're not men and women of prayer who daily go to a deserted place to be with the Lord. We celebrate St. Alphonsus today. He simply says, the one who prays is saved. The one who doesn't pray is certainly not saved. It really is that simple. And so when we face the lies of the world, and the lies that are swirling all around us, like the response of a psalm, Lord, teach me your statutes, teach me your decrees. Psalm 119, which is a response to a psalm, it's a series of couplets all about the laws, the decrees, the statutes, the ways of the Lord, which bring delight, which bring truth, which bring peace, and which bring freedom to our lives. So when we don't know the answer to the lies that we're facing, we go to prayer and we say, Lord, teach me your statutes. Lord, reveal to me the word, the truth of your word. And now that we're living in this new covenant, this new testament, the word of God is just not the scribbles on the page, but we know the word of God is a person, Jesus Christ. And he's here in the Blessed Sacrament. And this is what the gospel is about. That he took, he blessed, and he gave. The centrality of the Holy Eucharist in our life is what everything is pointed towards. So do we live a life that reveals that? Do we live a life worthy of the reception of the Holy Eucharist? Do we really believe that without the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we are dead? Because that's what Jesus says. Do we believe the word of God? And do we live our life in conformity with what the church teaches us is necessary for us to be able to receive the Holy Eucharist? And so then to apply it, especially to our lives as parents and as teachers, so many needs, so many questions, so many problems that the people that we are teaching face. Send them away, Jesus. Let them find it out on their own. I have nothing. There's 10,000 people here. We have a little pieces of bread and a couple of fish. Oftentimes, we feel inadequate to respond to the needs that are presented to us. But Jesus requires our cooperation. He could have done it differently, just magic formulas and potions and pixie dust, but he didn't. He desires our cooperation. And so what does he say? Whatever you have, give it to me. And so this is where we come to prayer. This is why we come to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And Jesus says, whatever you have, give it to me. And he supplied in abundance the needs of the people. It's always Jesus that does it. It's always him who fulfills our needs, but he requires our cooperation. As I said, by God's coincidence, he gave us these readings today. What a beautiful inspiration for us. Because we are facing so many false prophets. And it's so easy just to go along, to get along, to not make any waves, to pass it on to someone else, to answer the tough questions. Meanwhile, our people are dying because they don't have the truth. But we do. He's right here. St. Alphonsus says, the best thing we can do is to receive the Holy Eucharist worthily. The second best thing is to adore him in the Holy Eucharist. So again, by God's grace, our teachers and our parents, we have adoration today, that you have an opportunity, after you receive him worthily, to spend time with him in prayer, begging him to fill you with his word, so that your word will always be the word that is good, that is true, that is beautiful. Amen.